Everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am Rob, and we are going to be taking a journey today. George, are you ready for a journey, sir?
Sir, I am sitting upright in my seat. I have my seatbelt on, and I'm obeying all orders from the captain.
And Jason, is your tray in the upright and locked position?
It absolutely is. I am going to follow you down that yellow brick road, and hopefully we find a scarecrow.
I'm more fond of a tin man. George, you can be our cowardly lion. But what journey are we taking, guys? We are taking a journey for the Sleeper Wire All-Decade Team. So what we're going to be doing over the next about month or so, guys, each week we're going to put out an installment. This week we'll be starting with quarterbacks. We are going to build the ultimate superflex team of the 2010s. So, starting with quarterbacks, this is going to be a fun run, guys. I'm really excited to have you with me for this. This is going to be a lot of fun. And obviously, we're starting off a little fast and loose here. So, I just want to say it's an honor to take this journey into deep space. And we're going to travel now back to 2010. Where in 2010, Michael Vick was your number one quarterback. Now, did anybody think Mike Vick was going to make it into this list?
With Philadelphia, I thought he'd make it in the list, especially so you looked at 4 points per touchdown. So that's I want to make sure everybody's aware. You specifically looked at 4 points per touchdowns. When I was doing research for the show, I looked at 6 points per touchdown. The list does change a little bit between hours because of that. But on 4 points per touchdown, I figured rushing quarterbacks would have the edge. So I thought we might see Mike Vick at least limited towards the beginning of this list.
What was really – I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah, what was really impressive about this was Mike Vick, according to Rob's list, made number one overall, and he only played 12 games. That I find that to be highly impressive.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it's something I didn't have in my notes. So that's a huge thing to kind of think about. Now that year was a little lower for fantasy points in quarterbacks. It's one of the lowest years in the decade, actually, because Mike Vick in 4 point passing touchdowns had 316 total points. So. As we'll find out later in the decade here, there are people who have scored 100 and more over that. So that's kind of a low year. So what the fuck happened in 2010, guys?
Well, we haven't broke down those stats yet, but I'm going to go ahead and guess it was the year of the running backs. The league was a little bit different back then. I mean, listen, it's only 10 years. It wasn't that long ago. But I believe it was more of a run heavier league at that time. You were still allowed to just trounce your quarterbacks. You were allowed to hand check your wide receivers. Pass interference wasn't nearly as prevalent and didn't give you such an advantage as it does nowadays. It sounds weird to say, but it was literally a different game back then. And that was only 10 years ago.
Well, so on top of everything else, so in 6 point touchdowns, Peyton Manning was number one. He only had 33 touchdowns. So you're looking at like Peyton Manning with 33, Rodgers with 28, Drew Brees with 33. So we weren't seeing the 40s and, you know, like last year with Mahomes, 50 touchdowns, Peyton Manning with 55 a couple years later. You're not seeing the huge touchdown numbers from quarterbacks. And so like Peyton Manning, who was number one in six point touchdowns. He threw 33 touchdowns, but had 17 interceptions. So in a 4 point touchdown league, you know, he hurt you a lot more with those interceptions and didn't have a ton of touchdowns to overcome that. So.
Yeah, that's a huge thing to point out though, is the difference in 6 point and 4 point passing touchdowns for your quarterbacks. Make sure you know your league scoring when you draft each year. Because that's a huge point there. Peyton Manning's not in the top three for 4-point passing touchdowns, but he's the number one for 6-point. Number two for 2010 is Aaron Rodgers with 3,922 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 356 yards with 4 touchdowns rushing. He had 4 fumbles, lost 1, and he scored 306 total points. Now, Tom Brady was 3 that year with 3,900 passing yards, 36 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 3 fumbles, 1 lost, 301 points. So it just wasn't a huge year for the quarterback. George, I think you bring up a huge point there that just other position groups that were a lot stronger that year. I think, you know, we'll get to that next week with the running backs. So, Jason, who were your top three for 6-point? It was Peyton Manning at number one. Who was number two and three there?
So it was Peyton Manning number one, Aaron Rodgers number two, and Drew Brees number three. So Aaron Rodgers had 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 356 yards rushing. Drew Brees had 4,620 yards, so and 33 touchdowns, but 22 interceptions. And I think that's where it hurt Drew Brees in your stats, because you get 4 points per touchdown, negative 2 points for interceptions. So throwing minus 44 points of interceptions probably really hurts when you're only getting 4 points per touchdown and you're not getting anything rushing. He ran for negative 3 yards on the season, Drew Brees did.
All those kneel downs.
That's what it was. So looking at we wanted to talk about running backs briefly, and I know we're not going to get into it, but just to close that loop, Arian Foster with 1,600 yards.
There you go. The greatest undrafted free agent running back in the history of the game. Probably, I wonder if he'd be like the greatest undrafted free agent ever in the history of the game.
Dude, Arian Foster that year, 1,600 yards. The next closest guy was fucking Peyton Hillis with 1,177. And Arian Foster, 66 receptions, 604 yards. That dude was a beast. Yeah, holy shit. Sorry. I shouldn't have looked because now I'm intrigued. But I'm closing it out.
I'm wondering if this was more during the time of like more ball control, where defenses held offenses in check. They had to. I can only blame this on the rules of 2010 versus what they are today.
I can see that being a point. I had nobody over 4,000 passing yards in 2010. So it just looks like it was a little more dominated by the run. But stepping into 2011, there's a huge jump in the amount of passing yards that people had in the top explosion. Three here. So even with a rushing quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers had 4,643 passing yards, 45 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns rushing. He had 5 fumbles, and they had a big blank in the loss space there, so I don't know how many lost, but he had 399 total points. So that's a huge jump up from the year before, and it seems like they started you can tell that the game started to get more offensively centric at this point, and that quarterbacks are starting to thrive. No, I'm just going to get through the top three real quick, guys, and then we'll kind of talk about the merits of it. And Jason, you can give us a little bit of the 6-point rundown as well. Drew Brees was number two, 5,476 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He had 1 fumble and he lost it. Cheeky bastard. And 396 total points. Number three that year was Cam Newton with 4,051 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 706 yards, 14 touchdowns rushing, 5 fumbles, 2 lost, and 375 total points. So everybody was up above 375 there for the quarterbacks. And I believe, if I remember correctly, they were pretty high up on the total scoring that year as well, as far as end of year fantasy scoring. Jason, who did you have as the number one for 6 points?
So number one for 6 points this year was Drew Brees. 5,476 yards will help 46 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Second was Aaron Rodgers, 45 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. And then number 3 here was Tom Brady. He had over 5,000 yards that season, 39 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions.
Man, Tom Brady is somebody that I did not I just don't like the Patriots, so I was really hoping his name wouldn't crop up as much as I knew it was going to, and it did. But, I mean, we can say pretty much easily going into this, you can expect Tom Brady to be one of the top fantasy quarterbacks of the 2010 decade. Is that a pretty safe bet?
Totally, totally safe. Went to 6 Super Bowls this decade, I believe. So I think it's safe to say we'll be mentioning Tom Brady a little bit between now and then.
See, I think you'll see him a lot more on my list than he will on yours, because mine punishes quarterbacks that don't move, and he's one of the quarterbacks that just don't move.
Yeah. I like Cam, a little respect paying here towards Cam Newton's rookie year. 4,051 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. But then he follows that with 706 rushing yards and 14 touchdowns. That's insane.
That's nasty. Yes, 14 rushing touchdowns. Crazy.
But it just goes to show you how good.
Yeah, he scored 35 total year.
It shows you how good Cam was when he first came into the league. Immediately as a rookie for 6-point passing, I mean, he's already quarterback 4 on the seat for that season with over 440 fantasy points. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh, and if you had one of those Panthers running backs, because I think, and I don't remember, but I think it was D'Angelo Williams at that time and Jonathan Stewart. If you had one of those two and you were expecting to get some amazing goal line touchdowns, Cam Newton vultured them all.
He took all the goal line touchdowns.
Every single
one. He says, all these touchdowns now belong to me.
He ate them. He ate them alive. So for the year 2012, the year the world was supposed to end, obviously it did not. Or it did, and we are living in one of those alternate universes. What's that called? The Mandela Effect?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if you had the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears, but we'll continue on like you had the Berenstain Bears. Drew Brees tops it off for me with 5,177 passing yards, 43 touchdowns. So in the past couple of years, we've seen people with over 40 passing touchdowns for their first time this decade. But he ended up with 19 interceptions. He had, in true Drew Brees fashion, 5 yards rushing and 1 touchdown.
He's the most mobile quarterback.
He had 5 fumbles and he lost one. Yeah. Who has more rushing yards, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
I'll look that up. You please continue.
Because I don't think Drew Brees has gotten to 1,000 yards yet. So I think it's Tom Brady. But so number 2 that year was Aaron Rodgers. He had 4,295 passing yards, 39 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 259 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns, 5 fumbles, 4 lost, 344 total points. Drew Brees had 346. Number 3 that year was Tom Brady, 4,827 passing yards, 34 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He had 32 yards rushing with 4 touchdowns, 2 fumbles, 0 loss, 340 total points scored. So I definitely, you're starting to see kind of that trifecta show up every year at this point. At least one of them is going to be in the top 3 for the next long while. So with that in mind, if you were to pick somebody other than Tom Brady already, who would be one of your safe picks, Jason?
Other than Tom Brady? It's going to end up being Cam Newton. I mean, Drew Brees and – so Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, those three are safe, but Tom Brady kind of falls apart towards the end of the decade. I think Cam Newton, with his rushing ability and rushing touchdowns, obviously – he gives you that safe floor. That's one of my safety guys.
Well, my counter to that is he's also tapered off at the end of the decade. Not quite as not quite as hard as Tom Brady did, but Cam hasn't been Cam in a couple years. The last time I have him on my top three list is in 2017, and he only had 6 rushing touchdowns. He had 754 yards, but that's an interesting choice. George?
Man, you got to go with Drew Brees. Look at the numbers he's put up. I mean, yeah. I would take him ahead of any quarterback this decade right now, to be honest. It could be because I just absolutely love Drew Brees, but he's thrown for more than 5,000 yards than any quarterback in the NFL history.
Well, so listen, I love Drew Brees. I love Aaron Rodgers. Those guys are going to be 1 and 2, I think. You know, we haven't gotten through the decade yet. Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are going to be 1 and 2. So for me, those are slam dunk. I think there's been 11 5,000 yard seasons in the history of the NFL, and Drew Brees has 5 of them. So it's ridiculous, right? We're talking about a guy who started doing that in 2011, so it's all this decade. So he's definitely going to be on the list. I think Aaron Rodgers, you'll see, he's going to be deserving of being on this list. And then it's a bunch of guys that come and go from that top three, top five. And I think, like I said, I think Cam Newton deserves one of these spots, and we'll go over it later. But I'm at the end of this, I've got a list of top five finishes for the decade. And you'd be surprised who's the third. Well, probably not, because I just mentioned him. But you'd be surprised who's the second in that list. So,
yeah. Good foreshadowing there. So, one of the things that comes into mind at this point is, how do we treat Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? Like, at this point, even though Lamar Jackson's putting up, you know, he put up the most rushing yards by a quarterback in NFL history in a season, I don't think he's includable in this decade's all team.
I would agree.
So I treat him like I'm going to treat Peyton Manning. Because yep. Peyton Manning in this decade had 55 touchdowns and was amazing. But a lot of his best years were in the previous decade. And, you know, you didn't see Peyton Manning back on this list of even top five after 2014. So there's too many years with him not on this list for him to be an all-decade quarterback. Same thing with Mahomes. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. They'll probably be on next decade's list.
You can make a stronger case for Manning than you could for Mahomes and Jackson.
I completely agree with you guys. It's longevity that kind of makes this this be like an all-decade team. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson scored more fantasy points this season than any quarterback in the decade at 4-point passing touchdowns.
But he only did it one time.
Yeah, he only did it once, but he scored more than
ever. And he did it on 15 games.
Yeah. What did Mahomes play 16 last year?
He did. It's on my list.
Yeah, that I'm okay. It's impressive what he did. I mean, that is a huge amount of points. But I think you guys said it right. He's pretty much next decade's shoe-in if he continues to stay healthy. That's certainly a concern. And his biggest pundits right now are all about it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Can't wait to see Lamar Jackson get injured kind of stuff. And it hurts. It hurts us Ravens fans.
I don't want to see any quarterback get injured that's not named Tom Brady.
Yeah. I kind of hate to say anybody should get hurt, but I can't say I don't agree with that. I love you, Tom Brady. You've had a long and
now go kiss your son. Career.
Pass the torch. Yeah, pass the torch, sir. Great man. Pass the torch. So, is there any year, so, you know, getting into this now, this is our first time doing this, guys, so bear with us. It'll be a smoother operation next week. But I don't want to bore you by just reading a whole bunch of facts and stats. I mean, the whole point is to try and come up with the top four quarterbacks, because we're saying we want to fill out a super flex roster. So the top four quarterbacks of this decade. Now, I'm pretty sure we've all said Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers are, easy to put
in. And I think they're both well-deserving, obviously. They're easy to put in for a reason. Their resumes for this past decade definitely speak for themselves.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers scored 399 points in 2011, so it's not like he put up small years either.
He's been one thing there. That surprised me is that Andrew Luck's not on this list more often.
I don't think he played full seasons. I think that's part of the problem. Like, he's missed, you'd be surprised, but he's missed a lot of games in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured a lot. I just, you know, we treated, like, fantasy Twitter or fantasy world, like, collapsed under its own weight when he retired early.
Everybody was having to do an emergency podcast. Like, what? There's no emergency there.
And, you know, he had a, so in 6-point touchdowns, he had 1 year of being number one. But he really only had 3 years of being in the top five over his career. And I think, you know, we all look back at Andrew Luck a lot more longingly than we should. If it wasn't injuries, it just, you know, a lot of interceptions. He was a good quarterback. I'm looking at it going, he had the same in this decade, the same top five finishes as Matt Stafford, as Russell Wilson, you know, even Peyton Manning, who only played the first half of this decade. So
it's weird.
So what do you guys think about Russell Wilson making the top four?
There's a strong case to be made for it, to be honest. I mean, he won the Super Bowl in only his second season. He's a dual threat quarterback with his mobility and his underrated passing skills. I mean, he just makes good decisions. I mean, it's easy to look at what he's accomplished and say, yeah, he deserves to be in the top four. I would personally, I wouldn't put him there, now, but you can argue to have him there.
I think that Russell Wilson is a much better real life quarterback than he is fantasy quarterback. Now, he'll put up huge weeks for you, but he also, and this year is case and freaking point, how many people lost the first round of the playoffs because Russell Wilson just did not. That Seattle offense has been sluggish recently, and he is now the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Is that correct?
I believe he is.
Yeah, I think he still holds the crown there.
So he seems like he can only put half a season together, because I remember last year people not being a fan of his at the beginning of the season, and then he turned it on at the end of the season. And this year he had an incredible first half of the season, only to fall apart towards the end. It seems like for your fantasy, it's like he's only good for half the season, and you never know when he's going to go out and have one of those really bad games.
And he never scored more than 348 total points in 4-point passing, and that was in 2017. How is he doing in total points scored and 6-point? Because he's not really a touchdown monster. And actually looking at his total points, I'm actually kind of blown away at how low his max was. And that's really what led me to the conclusion that he is definitely a better professional football quarterback than he is fantasy.
He also, so he did finish top five in three times in the last decade. So, you know, this year he was number four, although especially down the stretch, if he had him, it didn't feel like it. But he had 31 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. 2017, he finished the number one overall quarterback, and that was on the back of 34 touchdowns passing and 3 rushing, but 586 yards on the ground. He gives you, when he's good, he gives you that safe floor with his legs. It's just you don't get it enough, right? So A guy I want to talk about that's not going to make anybody's top four, but he's been the guy I've drafted more often than anybody else is Matthew Stafford.
I was going to say it's Matthew Stafford, Jason's man crush.
He has been my man crush. So he has a total of three top five finishes, kind of like Ryan, Luck, those guys. But man, you can get him in the 10th round every year. Nobody's going to take him in front of you. And he's just a touchdown machine and a yardage machine. They throw it that Lions team can't find a running game, so they have to rely on Matt Stafford's arm. You know, he's another one of the guys that have 5,000 yards in a season. Towards the beginning of the decade, he was throwing it to Calvin Johnson. And then once Calvin Johnson retired, you thought maybe he'd fall off. But it's almost like he got better because he didn't have to throw it to one guy every time. So
Matt Stafford can chug a beer in less than a second. And it's super impressive. And I like him a lot for that reason, actually. But you brought up Cam Newton earlier, and I could think nothing but no. No, and then I started looking at the stats a little better while we were talking about it. And Cam Newton's actually one of the highest total point scorers in 4-point touchdowns of the decade, scoring 391 total points in 2015. And he had 10 rushing touchdowns that year, 636 rushing yards. He had a good season. And that's, for me, I think one of the things for like the all-decade team is you kind of have to put up a big number and you got to be up there consistently. I think he kind of sold me on Cam Newton. I think, George, are you sold on Cam Newton? Do you need more selling?
No, I liked Cam Newton coming in, to be honest. As far as fantasy goes, I love the running aspect. I love the fact I know when it was getting close to the red zone or in the red zone, that if it got close to the goal line, it was Cam taking it in. It wasn't going to be one of the running backs, and he was not throwing the ball. So I'm perfectly content with Cam.
So you got to love a guy who rushes for more touchdowns than most running backs. And then has the ability to throw for a ton, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's throwing for around 4,000 yards. He had 3,837 that year, 2015. But I know in his rookie year, he threw for 4,000. 4,051. I mean, he had 17 interceptions, which isn't great. But
it's better than 30.
Yeah, it certainly is. Fucking Jameis Winston.
So, let's see. I'm trying to pull up his season-to-season stats, not just his top 5 years. So, give me 1 second.
While you're doing that, I want to ask George a question. So, Do you think Jameis Winston's incredibly poor decision-making in life translates to his incredibly poor decision-making on the field and that it should have thrown up red flags when he continued to make terrible choices outside of football and then continued to make? Is there a correlation there?
I believe there's a strong correlation there. I can't think of many quarterbacks, and I'm going to go quarterback specific because we can point out all the blunders from running backs and anything like that. But when you're strictly talking quarterback, you want somebody who's right in the head, who makes good decisions, who's a leader for the team. And those are just traits Jameis Winston just does not possess. He's not a good leader. He doesn't make good decisions both on and off the field. I firmly believe that he got as far as he did in life because of how gifted he was on the field.
And even that is kind of questionable at this point. Like, if you throw 30 fucking interceptions in a season,
he made it to be, his talent got him to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. So I will never.
So is Jamarcus Russell.
Yep, and they both were talented. One, I can say Winston at least cares. That's a trait Jamarcus Russell doesn't have. Jamarcus Russell did not care. Jameis Winston does care. He does try. He wants to win. He wants to do the right thing, but he's just shown such ineptitude of being capable of doing that.
It's kind of weird because back when he just stole crab legs, I was kind of okay with it. Man just got worse. And I don't know if you've ever heard this term before. Unfortunately, I have, but pattern of misconduct. That's not a good sound, is it?
No. So I want to throw a quarterback out to you guys and let me know what you think. Let's play a little game. Let's see if you can name the quarterback. How's that?
Okay.
This quarterback was drafted in 2004. He took over as the starting quarterback for his team in 2006. He has not missed a single game to this day.
Phillip Rivers.
Yes. This decade, he has thrown over 5,000 yards more than Matthew Stafford.
He is the dad OG. Like, Kirk Cousins is kind of like the new dad quarterback.
Yep.
But, like, the OG dad is definitely Phillip Rivers, man. How many gosh dang it's have you heard? Ridiculous phrases come out of mic'd up. Oh, my God.
But I have to say, he is probably the biggest mistake that franchise ever made.
Well, you're replacing Drew Brees, yes, obviously. That I mean, anybody who goes on to replace Drew Brees, and then you look at what Drew Brees does for his career, you got to remember when they got rid of Drew Brees in San Diego, it was because he had a shoulder injury. So it wasn't just, you know, oh, we're going to replace you. No, there was real injury concern that, you know, Drew Brees might not be the quarterback capable of doing what he was doing again. There was serious concerns. That's why he didn't get signed by Miami. Unfortunately, one of the biggest blunders Miami ever made is they went with the hometown kid and Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. So there was legit concerns with Drew Brees going into that 2006 season. They had Phillip Rivers. They spent, you know, decent draft capital on him. They didn't know that Drew Brees.
I guess that's my point. They didn't have to.
Well,
can you imagine LaDainian Tomlinson, Drew Brees, and whatever else you got in that draft pick? But I understand that you didn't understand, like, you didn't know, but that's a mistake, right? Like, that's what I mean. It's still a mistake.
I didn't know
he was going to be healthy, but
I don't know if it's a mistake when you got.
I can't call it a mistake.
No, when you got a quarterback who you drafted that goes on, when once he takes over, he does not miss a single game in 13 years. He starts every single game. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's been.
Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers.
You're getting ahead of yourself there, bro.
No.
Listen, we're about to call Drew Brees the number one quarterback of the decade. We can all sugarcoat it all we want. We're about to call the guy that they dropped.
We're not about to call that. We are gonna call him that.
By the way, he looks like he's gonna outplay Phillip Rivers.
Well, so here's the counterpoint that I have to make to you. If they don't bring in Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees doesn't get jilted and then sent to a new city, does he become the Drew Brees that he is coming back from that shoulder injury without the extra motivation?
I think so. I mean, he had a good team around him. He had LaDainian Tomlinson. That San Diego team was prime and ready for good seasons. I think he was growing into the position. And listen, having Sean Payton helped, don't get me wrong. Going to that Saints team helped. And maybe Drew Brees isn't the best player of the decade, but I still think he's better than Phillip Rivers, even on that San Diego team.
I hate playing the game of if this person never left this team, would they still be the same person? Like, honestly, we have no idea. We honestly, though, we have literally no idea. Did Sean Payton help? Oh, absolutely he helped. There's no doubt in my mind that Sean Payton helped make Drew Brees who Drew Brees is. Would Drew Brees be the same Drew Brees without Sean Payton? We'll honestly never know. But I'm not going to sit here and say Drew Brees would have turned into one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time had he stayed in San Diego.
Well, yeah, and if a frog had a glass ass, it wouldn't bump its butt when it jumped. Is that the saying?
I've never heard it, but I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I always fuck that one up. Like,
it's like Jason,
Chris Farley, and Tommy Boy.
It's like Jason used to tell me: if Tom Brady was drafted to the Browns, does he go on to be the greatest quarterback in NFL history? Probably not.
No, I always say if Tom Brady was drafted by the Browns, the only reason we'd know him is because he'd be calling Big Ten championship games on the Big Ten Network.
So I think coaching has a lot to do with it. And I'm going to give a lot of credit to Sean Payton for what Drew Brees has been able to accomplish. I mean, Drew Brees gets a lot of credit too, but Sean Payton deserves a lot as well.
Still a mistake. They bailed on Drew Brees early. They could have used the draft capital from Philip Rivers to make that team better.
They bailed on him after a major injury that their doctors weren't certain he was going to come back for. It's not like they just up and said, okay, yep, we're done with this guy. We've got this rookie waiting over here.
But they were wrong.
Hindsight being 2020, yeah, they were wrong.
They were wrong, so fine. So was it a mistake?
No, at the time, no, it was not.
Right, so we have three of the top four quarterbacks, guys. You guys can have this argument in your bed later as you do pillow talk.
Oh, you could get in the bed with me.
There's no room left with you and Jason in there. So
I got a California King. There is, too. Don't besmirch my bed.
God, how do you have such a large bed, sir?
I'm a large man.
I'm a California King as well. I'm a large man. I need my space.
I sleep on like an army cot. You people are...
You're doing it wrong, bro.
That's exactly what it is. Hey, don't talk bad about our beds because you got a cot.
Hey, don't talk bad about Drew Brees just because Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers is terrible. I don't know.
He's not.
Gosh dang it.
He's a second ballot Hall of Famer.
He'll be a first.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think he will be a second ballot Hall of Famer, but I don't think he'll be a first. And for the big reason of he never won a Super Bowl.
Lots of quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls.
Yeah. But Philip Rivers isn't Dan Marino, man.
No, that's true. He's not.
Like, we're talking about an iconic quarterback who changed the game of football, or Philip Rivers, who has been far above average. You can dare say pretty good almost every year. To be honest with you, I was surprised he never crept into my top three because he's somebody that I target almost every year in fantasy drafts. And yes, it did bite me in the ass this year. Thank you very much.
Well, so I'll say he only made my top five once out of the decade, only top five once. And fantasy football is not real football. So he's a better quarterback he's a better NFL quarterback than he's ever been a fantasy football quarterback. So,
correct. And that's why I'm saying he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But again, he did only crack this top five once. He didn't creep in your top three at all. Another guy, no. I'm surprised about Kirk Cousins. He showed up on my list three times.
Excuse me?
Kirk Cousins. Oh, sorry, two times. Never mind. Kirk Cousins showed up on my list twice. I was surprised.
Wow.
I was surprised about that.
Yeah, I'm surprised he got on there more. Now, did he get on there with two different teams?
He got on there with the Redskins.
Both times, I believe.
Both times, yeah. He hasn't been on there with the Vikings.
2016 and 2017.
I mean, that's what got him the contract, right? But
yeah,
he in 2016, he almost had 5,000 yards. He was at 4,917 with 25 touchdowns and only 12 interceptions. But he also had four rushing touchdowns, even though he didn't rush much. And then he followed that up in 2017 with 27 touchdowns and another four rushing touchdowns. So it really is just about being able to produce from both the air and the ground. If you can get four rushing touchdowns, you'll make a top five list pretty quick.
and looking at Aaron Rodgers year in, year out, every year that he's on the top three for me, he's had at least three. Oh, nope, had two in 2012. But Aaron Rodgers is somebody that gave you earlier in the decade a good amount of rushing yards and touchdowns. And I think that's one of the reasons why he didn't look like the same Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he hasn't really looked the same since the game one of last season where he got injured against the Bears, came back, and had that miraculous comeback. We haven't seen the same Aaron Rodgers since, have we?
No,
we've not. He's protecting himself. He's not quite as accurate with the football. They're calling plays to protect him more than anything else now.
And there, people are trying to blame it on the receiving core, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling has had a terrible year. Ouch. If you took either Geronimo Allison or MVS this year, it was not good.
No.
Neither of those guys stepped up in that wide receiver two role, and it took Alan Lazard, who was undrafted, I believe. And
Jason and I were huge Geronimo guys coming into this season, and that just did not work out.
No, it didn't. Not even a little bit. All right, guys, so we have one spot left. So we've kind of hit some of the outlier names. Kirk Cousins, I can't believe, popped up there at all. And I kind of wish Matt Stafford or Phillip Rivers would have popped up there a little bit more. Do we give that fourth spot to Tom Brady? Because I'm kind of willing to try and talk around that if we can.
Well, so I've got – so for top five finishes, it ends up Drew Brees has six, Aaron Rodgers has five, Cam Newton has five, and then Tom Brady's right there with four. So those, if you're looking at top five finishes in 6 point PPO or 6 point per touchdown, those are your top four. Now, guys with three, so just so we can take an honest look at it and maybe not pick Brady. Peyton Manning's got three, Matt Stafford's got three, Matt Ryan's got three, Andrew Luck's got three, Russell Wilson has three. Those are your guys with three. One stat I wanted to mention, I'm sorry, I want to shoehorn this in because I found it fascinating. There were two guys here that finished an average of top 10, no matter, despite injuries or what happened throughout the year, and that's Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees, even though there's multiple years where he didn't play a handful of games, averaged 6.9 over the decade. And Aaron Rodgers, despite missing most of a couple of seasons, still ended up at 9.2, even though he had like a number 33 finish. So those are, like I said, we knew those guys coming in were going to be a lock. Cam Newton finished outside of the top 10 if you averaged over the decade, but not by much. I think it was like 12 point something. It was pretty close. And then after that, there was a pretty massive drop. So these three guys are the guys that I expected to be here. That's why I was going to fight you when you guys wanted to argue with me on Cam. But this fourth guy really is tough because you've got Tom Brady and then everybody else. I can't see putting Peyton Manning there. I can't see put Matt Stafford there or Matt Ryan. You know, they just haven't had a string of seasons. So to me, it's got to be Tom Brady here. Immobile, slow, and old Tom Brady.
I apologize, George. My issue with Tom Brady is that he never scored a lot of total fantasy points. He never finished higher than two in 4 point passing touchdowns. And when he did, his highest point scored were fairly low. I think he's somewhere around the 344. Matt Ryan had 354 last season. But he's another guy that doesn't put up a whole lot of total points. He had 355 in 2016. But
listen, I'm happy to shoehorn Peyton Manning here. It's just tough to fit him into this decade.
Yeah, because he's only got 5 years. He's only played half first. I think it's got to be Brady. Regardless, he's got the most, next most. He's the only person with four top five finishes throughout the year. I don't think we have a legitimate.
I don't think there's a legitimate four. Yeah, I honestly don't think. I think four is the tough one. Like, I know you don't want to say Tom Brady. I'm looking over at you. I can see you. I see you struggling to find somebody else. You're dying to not pick Tom Brady.
And me and Rob both hate Tom Brady. He's a Ravens fan. I'm a Dolphin fan. I get it from my family all the time about how great the freaking Patriots are. But I think it's an illegitimate list if we don't have Tom Brady on it, just for the simple fact of what he's done over the last decade, both on the field, which speaks for itself, but for fantasy as well.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure if we added up his total fantasy points of the decade, he'd be one of the highest scorers.
I agree.
Well, that's also, I mean, that's also tough because he's played every decade. He's played every year of the decade. So
yeah, but you know, that's a hallmark of being an all-part of the all-decade team, right?
Team. All right, mm-hmm. So why don't you recap who our top four is, Rob? Because I'm pretty excited about it, even though you guys feel like it's on a down note here at the end.
I don't think it's
a
down.
You know, yeah, I don't hate it. I'm not mad at it. I may look at it with angst, but you know, I'll move on. So number one, we got Drew Brees. We have Aaron Rodgers. We have Cam Newton, and we have Tom Brady. So we are, like we kind of outlined earlier, guys, we're going to build the best super flex team of the 2010s. So there's our four quarterbacks. Now, if we see a bench spot at the end and we think that one of these guys that we were kind of haggling with trying to get over Tom Brady, if we see a spot and they're just better than every other position player we have, sometimes you just got to stock up on quarterbacks. It is super flex.
Absolutely. You can never have too many quarterbacks in Superflex. Never.
Never.
Listen, when injuries start to happen in the rest of the players' all-decade team, we can make trades. We can trade one of our quarterbacks.
I'm not of the opinion that we should be banking on a trade, Jason.
Well, since we're the only team in the league?
I don't know.
I think our waiver wire is plentiful.
I think it might get vetoed by the league.
Damn it. I know. Next, I didn't know we were doing voices. I'm going to do an accent next time.
I happen to not be able to control it. It's kind of like voice modulation syndrome, except it's like voice inflection modulation syndrome. So I just speak in random accents sometimes. Sometimes I wish I could take it back, especially when we're on the air and it doesn't go over as well. And I'm like, that one wasn't it at all.
Not good.
Yeah, gonna avoid that one from here on out. Yep,
no, I dig it. I'm down. I want to do it.
Yeah, George, you're not allowed to though.
That's okay, because I'm not going to be here next week. So,
yeah, that's right. Enjoy Tennessee. We will be missing George next week. Hopefully, we had some technical difficulties trying to get Mike on tonight. If we don't have Mike, me and Jason will have another one of the fine Sleeper Wire members with us to navigate the running backs. So I want to say thank you very much, guys, for joining us on the first part of this journey. Next week, it's going to be a little smoother. We kind of know what we want to do here. So we're going to talk to you about running backs next week, and we're going to fill in some roster spots for this super flex roster. So thank you for Rob, Jason, George, and Sleepawaya. I almost forgot our Twitter handles. Shit. George, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at BFTGpod on Twitter, and I'm at BFTGEO on the Sleeper app.
Jason?
I'm at FL Dr. Milbarge on Twitter, and at BFTG Dr. Mil on Sleeper.
And I am at ESORBOR1, ESORBOR1. That's my name backwards on Twitter. And on Sleeper, I am ESORBOR. Again, Rob Rose. So thank you, George. Thank you, Jason. This has been a lot of fun, even though we were a little frenetic here and jumped this way to that. Had a few technical difficulties, but it wouldn't be a Sleeper Wire show without them. So thank you guys for taking this journey with me. Thank you to all the listeners for coming along as well. And we will see you next week for running backs, guys. Have a good weekend. Be safe.